We're up to Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Yud Tes. Okay, so Rabbi, so I want to apologize. I didn't prepare all that much the Navi. I got a little tied up yesterday, and I spent all my time on Chumash instead of having much to say anyway. So you'll help me out here a little bit. We'll see how it goes. Okay, so we're up to Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Yud Tes Vatichalaleno Isi El Ani. This is a continuation of yesterday where Yechezkel is relaying Hashem's criticism of the women, the Nashim, who are engaging in magic, in sorcery, in kishuf, in divination, necromancy, all of these interesting things. And we learned yesterday how they would attach to their customers pillows underneath their armpits and kerchiefs upon their head, and use these as a means to predict the future. And we learned yesterday three interpretations as to the exact nature of the criticism. Either Hashem said to them that for Parnassah, this is what you stoop to. You stoop so low just to make a few dollars. You're willing to go and tell people they're going to die, they're going to live. And another interpretation is you can't even guarantee your own lives. You don't know if you'll be alive tomorrow. And you're promising people if they're going to live or die. And the third interpretation is, how dare you tell tzaddikim they will die and tell rishayim you will live. That was a summary of the three interpretations of the pasuk that we learned yesterday. So here this reinforces this idea in pasuk Yutes, Vatichaleno Isi Elami. You have profaned me, Elami, to my nation, Bishalei Se'oirim. Bishalei is a word which means a fistful. Like we have, there's a famous, we'll see the Radak quotes the famous pasuk that Kadosh Baruch Hu, he measures the heavens with his fists, with a fistful of barley, uvis toisei lechem, and a broken piece. Pasuk Yutes, Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Yutes, and with a fistful of barley, and with a broken piece of bread, lehamis nefashos asher lo simu sena, to bring death upon neshamos that are not meant to die, ulahachayos nefashos asher lo sichyena, and to give life to neshamos that are not meant to live, which basically means you're telling people who are going to die they're going to live, and tell people who are going to live they're going to die. Bechazevchem liami, when you lie to my nation, shaymei chazav, who are gullible, they're gullible people, they listen to falsehood. Klal Yisrael, for some reason, is always blamed for being gullible. They believe these charlatans. The Nevi'im, they don't want to listen to, but they want to listen to these people who tell them falsehoods. Okay, now let's see over here in the Mefarshim. There's a lot going on in the Mefarshim. What exactly over here are we introducing over here? Really, two new things. There are two new things that are being introduced in this pasuk that we've not had before, and that is a fistful of barley and a broken piece of bread. So the Metzuvah stuff, it says, Vatechaleno Yisi, Aten with a nun, Losh Nekeva. You, these women, Nechalalim, or you see, you profane me b'fnei ami, before my nation, Lehasir milibam pitochoin b'Hashem, to deny them faith in Hashem, Ulifanois el hakesem, and to convince them, to persuade them to have faith in the kesem, divination, V'yezet hasu b'schar, and you do this, so here is the interpretation of the Mitzvah David, you do this for Parnasa. What is the parnasa? Miloy egroif soirim, for a fistful of barley, uvechatichos lechem, and for a piece of bread. According to the Mitzudos David, if you close the door, please. Yeah, okay. So he's saying over here is that it's going back and explaining what it says in Pasuk Yudches. The last three words of Pasuk Yudches, unifashos lochena sechayena, your own neshamos, you give life. Which the Mitzudos David interpreted to mean that you support yourself. You. This is your profession. You convince people they're going to die or live in exchange for them paying you a few dollars. What are the few dollars? There's no cash. The system is they give you some barley. Barley is an inferior quality food. Wheat is ideal. But the people here are so poor, they don't even have wheat to pay for the service. They give these women barley, and they don't even have a full loaf of bread to give. They give them a piece of bread. So even for a slice of bread and for some grade C barley, you're willing to lie and engage in kesem and tell people they're going to die or going to live. That's how the Mitzudos David learned. That's the next word of Mitzudos David. L'hamitz nefashais l'ksam shav to divine falsely l'shpoit misa al nefashais hasher be'emes lo simusena, to tell people that are not meant to die, to tell them they're going to die. V'lishpoit chayim al nefashais hasher be'emes lo sichayena, and to tell people who are meant to die they're going to live. V'lo yeh imkein kidivreichen, and what they're saying are lies. B'chazev b'e, it says over here, when you lie, return to Laimar, hadvarim ha'ele tarmu, you say, v'tishmitu be'es tikazvu elami, Hashem kazavu maminim la, you make these statements when you speak to the people and you lie to them and you tell them things which are totally false. So let's see Rashi. Rashi first says, b'shalei so'irim, so Rashi first translates the word shalei means a fistful. Okay, the Mitzudos Sin really said the same thing. He said, "Over the Mitzudos Sin, it says b'shalei ken yikra ha'egreif a fist," as it says in Yeshaya, "Mimodad b'shalei mayim." Who can measure with their fist water? The head, the water, referring to Hashem. Rashi says b'shalei sairim k'mo mimodad b'shalei mayim. And what is that word? Is the word in Rashi in French?
Which one? The first one.
The first Rashi. Pasuk Yutes.
No, there are two.
The first one.
The first one is
Jaloin,
double handfuls.
A double handful, okay. A second bishale is a measurement. Uvis toise lechem, a piece of bread. What does that mean? There's another French word there.
Pieces. Like pieces or
morsels.
Pieces.
Pizza. The women would take a piece of bread as payment for their service. L'hamis nefashois hashelo simusena, k'loimar, loimar al nefashois hashelo simusena, to say concerning people that are not meant to die, elu yamusu, they will die. V'loimar al hashelo sichyena, yichyu, to say about people that are not meant to live, to say yichyu, they will live, ki kismechem sheker, your divination is a lie. The army shalachem, my nation, they're gullible, they accept your false predictions. Okay, let's see the Mitzudot Radak. The Radak Pasuk Yitzhak says, V'techaleno isi al ami, k'moy be'ami, to my nation, v'chein el ha'aroin, k'moy ba'aroin, this week's parasha, v'achilul shemastirin b'tchoyna mimeni b'oitchem b'divreichen shehem kozov. So the Radak here explains what is the chilul, why it's becoming very important Radak. Why does the pasuk begin with the words vatechalelena? You profane me. The nature of the chilul here is that people until this point have faith in Hashem, and these women are causing them to abandon their faith in Hashem and instead place it in avodah zarah. So here the Radak is exactly the same thing. This is the schar. This is the payment for their deeds. The people who are the customers, the way they pay is by giving a fistful of barley or by giving a slice of bread. The yesh mefarsh. Now here is a new interpretation. Ki hasoirim vihalechem hoyu noisnois toichakisasois. So here's what we mentioned this actually yesterday, is that according to the second interpretation is what was put in the pillow. These women tied pillows under the armpits of the customers. How did these pillows were instrumental in bringing about some form of koyach of tuma? How was that possible? The answer is, we don't know how this thing works, but in the pillow was filled with barley, and the pillow was filled with slices of bread. And somehow, according to the rules of Kishuf, barley and slices of bread give power, enable these women to bring forth a ruach of tuma and misguide these gullible people. L'hamis nefashos hashelos simusena, eluhei nefashos hatzadikim, ulachayos nefashos hashelos sichayena, and to give life to those that are meant to die, eluhei nefashos harashayim, ki bavur devarim lo sichayena v'lo simusena, due to their statements, they make these statements, aval etein aten yu mechazvois lachem l'mishahem ba'amish shayme kazav, you're liars. Your statements are nothing but lies. You tell people who are meant to die, they're going to live. People who are meant to live are going to die. your statements are nothing but falsehoods. Because Zevchem Hazayin B'Segol, this word Kozav is with a Segol B'Chazevchem. Okay, now there's a very interesting Gemara. There's an interesting Gemara that relates to this pasuk. The pasuk, the Gemara says that if you walk in the street and you see a piece of bread, a loaf of bread on the floor, what are you supposed to do? Pick it up, right? It's a very important principle in halacha. We're very makbid in Judaism about tashchis, and not even forget about tashchis. If you're not going to eat the bread, you're not allowed to be mevazeh food. You're not supposed to throw food. You have to be very careful with food. So the Gemara says, if you walk in the street and you see a loaf of bread, pick it up. It's not by kovedik. Important. You ever pass? I used to always pass the these fruit stores. Always used to happen. Always used to happen that people would take fruit, either pass Glatmart or pass an Avenue J on a blue ribbon. And it always happened that people would take fruit and an apple or a grapefruit or a pear would always fall off and roll down the street. So you're mechuyev. It's a bezoyin to the other. Forget about parnasa. Forget about the loss of money for the person who owns the store. It's a bezoyin. It's something that's very disturbing to see a good apple rolling down the street. Pick it up. You're supposed to pick it up and put it back where it came from. So that, what about if you have a loaf of bread? Of course, Allah has come. You're supposed to pick up the loaf of bread. The Gemara says, put it back. Put it back where it came from. Oh, I mean, it's dirty. Well, an apple doesn't get dirty. Anyway, whoever's going to go buy the apple, you assume is going to wash the apple. I mean, okay, about a loaf of bread, but still, you don't let a loaf of bread lie in the street. So at least put it in the plastic bag and then throw it in the garbage, just like Shemais. Right, you don't go and photocopies. You don't put photocopies directly in the garbage. You first put the photocopies into a plastic bag, and then you put it in the garbage. So too, this. Okay, yeah, that's a topic. Yeah, that's talking.
So.
Because bezayin aichal. Wow, very interesting. Who didn't allow this?
Rav Moshe?
Rav Moshe did not allow.
Grandfather.
Yeah.
Grandfather was dead 25 years before Rav Moshe. So
he did. That was the minute. No bags.
He did not allow it.
Because
he
the bazaar.
My father said he handed out Hershey bars to everybody. And, you know, that was it.
But not the food.
He was there. He refused to let anybody sell bags.
Very interesting. Very interesting. It makes a lot of sense. Okay. So the Gemara says, I'll read you the Gemara. The Gemara says, Omar Mar. The Ein Ma'avid, we learn in the Mishnah, Ein Ma'avid al Ha'ochlin. You're not allowed to pass over food. If you see food lying in the street, you're not allowed to pass by. You have to pick up the food. Omar Rabbi Yochanan Mishim Rabbi Shimon Yochai. Rabbi Yochanan says Mishim Rashbi. Loishanu Ella Badoirois Harishain. And this halacha is bottle. Bizman Hazeh, if you walk in the street and you see a loaf of bread on the floor, don't touch it. Why? She'ein Bindos Yisrael Prutzos Bikashafim. In the earlier generations, the Jewish women were not Prutzos, did not engage freely in witchcraft. That's why there's no danger in picking up a loaf of bread. Aval b'dayrais ha'achrayim, in the later generations, in our generations, shebenois yisrael prutzos b'kashafim, that women are engaged in witchcraft. Choyshashem shema pas michu shefes. There is a jinx. There is a spell that is cast on the loaf of bread, and in fact, it's a trap. They want you to pick up that loaf of bread because by picking up that loaf of bread, you're going to bring upon yourself this spirit.
Wonder bread.
This spirit, and then they will have access to all of your accounts. They'll have passwords to all of your secrets, and they'll be able to do harm. Therefore, bizman hazeh, don't touch a loaf of bread that's lying in the street. It's a trap. The Gemara goes further. What? It's a trap. A loaf of bread lying in the street is a trap. It's very possible there's a spell on it. Tana, The Gemara goes further. It's the Gemara Mefisach the Erevim. Tana. This halacha, that Bizman Hazer, it's a trap, is only ki karos shleimin. Only if it's a complete loaf. It's right to make a bracha. You can use it for a Lechem Mishnah on Shabbos. Why? Because only on a kikar shalem is it possible for a woman to cast a spell and use it as a trap for a man. But pesisin, but if you walk in this street and see a slice of bread, a mavirin, because it's not possible for a woman, according to the rules of Kishref, I'm sure you all very knowledgeable in these halachas and these secrets, it's not possible to cast a spell on a slice of bread.
But that contradicts the pasuk.
Oh, exactly. That's why we're reading this. That's exactly why we're recording this over here. Really? Is it true that there's no spell cast on a slice of bread? But it says Beferish in Yecheskel, and Perik Yud Gimel, Pasik Yud Tes, it says Beferish, Vatichaleleno Oisi Elami Bishale Seoirim Uvis Toisei Lechem. Okay, but so what? The Gemara was recording a pasuk, and it says over here that these women, they would profane Hashem through a fistful of barley and through a slice of bread. And according to the parish of Radak says, what's the slice of bread? Doesn't mean, like we said, according to Rashi and the Mitzudos, that it was payment for the service, but it means they put slices of bread in the pillows, which they tied under the armpits of their customers, and through these slices of bread they were able to bring upon these people a ruach of tumah. So the Gemara says, no, the Radak is wrong. It's not the pshat in the pasuk. When it says in the pasuk, a slice of bread, the shokle be'agraihu, the pshat in the pasuk is, they took the slice of bread as payment for their service, like Rashi and the Mitzudos. B'schar b'si se'lechem shekiblu kishru b'dvar machem g'van. So it's fascinating here. We have over here three, Rashi, Radak, and the Mitzudos. Rashi and the Mitzudos tell us that the slice of bread was payment. Radak tells us the slice of bread was the trick in how they were able to activate the koyach of tumah. And the truth is, It's a shock of Atari in the Gemara Masech to Ervin. What's the correct pshat? And the Gemara first says the correct pshat is like the Radak, and therefore the half of Kasha. It's not only when it's a complete slice of bread, even when it's a complete loaf of bread, even a slice of bread. And then the Gemara rejects the interpretation of the Radak and says the pshat is correct, like Rashi and like the Mitzudos, that we're dealing here with payment for their services. Okay, so what about how the Radak didn't know the Gemara? The Radak knew Kol Terakulo, backwards and forwards. How come the Radak gave the Pshat when the Gemara Mamish rejected this Pshat? The Gemara Mamish rejected this Pshat in the Gemara. It's a Pella why the Radak gave us this interpretation. Okay, let's. What do you mean?
Right.
The Radak is telling us a Pshat which the Gemara rejects. Mamish clearly rejects. The Gemara is a havamina. And a havamina, it is correct. But the Gemara ultimately rejects that as being the pshat. All right, let's go to the next pasuk.
So today, what do we do today?
No, b'zman hazeh, there is no witchcraft. B'zman hazeh, you're allowed to. I think the pasuk can say, I think that's what we should do. B'zman hazeh, you do pick it up. B'zman hazeh, there is no witchcraft anymore. B'zman hazeh.
Right,
it's bottle. It's gone. So b'zman hazeh, what?
Black magic. If you want to be safe as a rabbi, pick it up with
I know they have on drugs, they're always about
it. Right, that they got together to.
All these, it's coming back.
These witches get together to.
New thing, new fad in this generation. UFOs. UFOs are back in style. Okay, UFOs and koichas of witchcraft. Witches.
Exorcism.
What's it called?
Exorcism,
yeah. These are two things now that are very popular in the news. Let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Chaf. L'chein therefore koyam Hashem Elokim hinni el kis so seichena. I'm going to punish you for your pillows. Okay, the kis so seichena are the pillows that the women are stitching and are filling up with barley and bread or not. and attaching to the armpits of their customers. Asher atena, you use these objects as mitzodidos sham es hanefashos, which you trap, you entrap. What? I slipped, I said radak, the pillows which they attach to their customers, and they use these pillows, it doesn't have to be with bread inside, somehow the pillows themselves had the power to bring on the koichas of tumah, which they use these pillows, asher atena mitzodidos sham es hanefashos, you entrap these poor souls by convincing them they're going to die. Lefarchois means you cause these people, you cause their neshamos to fly away. The word leparchois is a term which means death. When the neshama departs the body, the neshama flies away. So you are entrapping these poor people and causing them and parcha neshmasa. The neshama flies away. So you are giving them bad advice and you're telling them give up in life. There's nothing left for you to live for, and that caused them to go into a depression and they die prematurely. And Hashem says, I'm going to rip these pillows, these cushions from upon your arms, from upon their arms. Zero is from really from your arm. Vishilachti es hanefashos asher atem mitzodim es nifashim lifarchois. I'm going to release. I'm going to save these souls. I'm going to
set them free.
I'm going to set these souls
from under your arms.
No, the soul's not in the arms. I'm just going to set them free. Okay, let's see pasuk now. Okay, let's do another pasuk, because there were two things we learned yesterday. There were two things. Number one is the cushions that they attach to the armpits of their customers, and the second thing was the kerchiefs that they attach to their heads. Vikorati es misbichoy seichem. I'm going to rip off these kerchiefs that you attach to your customers. Vitzalti es amim yet. I'm going to save my people from your hands. Velo yiyu od biyetchem limitsuda. They no longer will be entrapped in your hands. Vidaten. And then when this happens, everyone will know ki ani Hashem and it's other is Hashem. Let's see these two psukim inside pasuk chaf and chafal from the mitzuda stavid. Hinani, hine ani efne es el hakis sasay shalachem. I'm going to pay attention. I'm going to turn my attention to the pillows. Asher atein, you the women, mitzedidais imohem es hanefashos, which you use to entrap these poor souls, lahachti anashim, to cause them to sin, to believe in kesem, lohitzi, to remove them, uliafriach mehem nefnafshosem, which you use to cause these people to die. Vikorati, ki ekra oisam me'al hazra'ois asher samtem aleihem, oisam hakisasas, I'm going to rip these pillows off their armpits. Return to Lemar. Shetecharev Yerushalayim. What's going to happen is the city will be destroyed. Utibatel kol hatachbulois v'hakizavim. And then when the city is destroyed, all of the lies, all the charlatans, all of these false techniques will come to an end. Ki ilu, and when your business is shut down because of the korban, then it will be as if kilu yikru me'al hazra'os v'hoyu kilohoyu. It will be as if they never happened. It will be as if I'm ripping off the cushions from these people's armpits. Vishalachti oz eshlach ha'nechavshi es ha'nefashos asher atem mitzodidos. Then I will set free the poor souls that have been entrapped by you. Ritzad alaymar oz do tuchlo od l'ramos ulachti. You'll no longer be able to trick people. Es nefashim l'parchois. Omar l'toisefes be'or. These two words are really superfluous, because if these words do not appear in the pasuk, it's obvious what the pasuk means, that once Hashem destroys Yerushalayim and there's a churban, no longer will people be entrapped through your technique. Es hanefashos hanitzadois b'yedchem. These souls that are entrapped in your hands, lohaitzion lihaitzion ulafichon min aguf, which you are entrapping to cause them to die, liyos avudos be'avaynam. They're going to die because of the sin of believing in Avodah Zarah. Oysam ashalach chavshi, so no longer will there be any nichshol, they will go free. Pasuk of Aleph, I'll also rip off the kerchiefs that you put on your head. The Korati returned to Leimar, Gam hatachbula shel hamitbachos tisbatel, ki ilu ekra'im v'hoyu kulohoyu. I'm going to rip off the kerchiefs, which also was a technique that you used to trick people into believing in kesem. Itzalti lebal yu nirukadim yetchem li'al shilam ba'avayna kesem. Amar, no longer will it be in your hand to be trapped. I have control over everything. Let's see Rashi Chof and Chof Aleph. Le parchois, lios parchois al yedchen legehenim. So parchois means to fly to Gehenim. I don't know. There are many different words, and this itself is an interesting topic of discussion. In Tanakh, if you study the entire Tanakh, you will find there are many different expressions that are used to describe death. One example is asifa. Asifa, asefa. Asefa. Asefa means to be gathered in. Vayigva. Vayigva. Vayyosef el amof. So what exactly, sometimes it says vayyosef. Doesn't even say the word el amof. There are all different types of expressions. Vayigva, that alone means death. Then there is, of course, the word misa. And here we have a new term called pricha, where the neshama flies away. And then we have veinenu. Hashem took away, what does it say about misa shalach? Misa shalach? They Chanoch. Veinenu. Ki lokach oisoi elokim. He just doesn't exist anymore. So what does that mean? It means, so Chazal said that he was taken alive to Shemayim. Okay, that's a drasha. It's a drasha, but it's another way of describing leaving this world. Veinenu. Just disappeared. So this is a very interesting topic to make. I can make a nice little contrast on this. Is to go through the entire Tanakh and look at all the various expressions that are used to describe death. And what does it say? What does it say there? What is the expression? Hashem by Makas Bechoros. So it says Hika.
Yeah.
Hika kol b'chavir Hashem. That's also death. That also means, what do you mean? Hashem's going to hit them and they're not going to die? It means that's the way they die. Hika. So you have so many different expressions being used throughout Tanakh. And here we have a new expression, which is very rare, called parchos. The neshama just flies away from the body. But it means to fly, to parayach. The way Rashi uses it is, it's for a bad thing. It's liyos hanafot, to go to Gehenim. The neshamais, which are liyos parchos al yedchen, for the women, li Gehenim. Okay, next. So v'shalachti es hanafashos kitagumoy ve'asheizev. I will save. Yos naf shoso de'ativun mechorshon. Yos naf shehen le'abodusei. I will save the neshama which you, the women, mechorshon plan. Mechorshon means, I think, you plan that they should die. You plan that they should die by convincing them to believe in this kesem. Hashem says, I will kill you. And that way they will be spared from your plans and they will live. Es naf nefashim, es anoshim, liyos hanefashois, these men, liyos hanefashois parchos, to prevent these men from dying through the chait of believing in you. Okay, let's see, there is no Rashi on Chaf Aleph. Let's go to the Radak. Radak pasuk chof and chof aleph. Lochein hirni el kiso seichena. Kmo yehirni alechem. I'm upon you. I'm going to punish you. Shepirashnu v'dogish samach kiso seichen. It's a very hard word to say. Kiso seichena. Wow. Okay, that's a good tongue twister. L'tiferes v'hakriya v'dogish kuf. And there is a dogish kidogish kuf. I don't know, Mikdosh Hashem. Mikdosh, in the Kuf there is a dot, so to here in the Chof, in the Samach, there is a dot. And here he used an expression, I don't know much about this, but it's something interesting, it's part of the rules of grammar, Litiferes HaKuria. It just sounds better. It does not necessarily change the meaning of the pasuk. It has no grammatical significance. Yeah. Because there's an emphasis, because you don't swallow the word. When the samach has a dogesh, so it's a shvonah, not a shvonach. If it would be without a doubt, it would be kiss. Kiss, so you'd have to pause.
And it's very hard to pronounce it.
The samach and the sof. Okay, but that's because we are not experts. We don't differentiate. We do not differentiate today between a samach and a sof. Do you differentiate? I don't differentiate. Do we differentiate between a tes and a tav?
No.
We don't differentiate. There are a lot of letters that we, to us, all the same. That's how it's supposed to be.
What?
In Havar Sfaradid, what? A Sof? And it will be a Tof. So then it will be different. In Echanami. Then according to Sfaradid, it will be different. But we don't differentiate. And also like Mikdosh. mikid. So when you have a dot, it's not going to be mikdash. It's going to be mikidash. So you're getting another syllable. You're adding another syllable, which somehow emphasizes. It brings out.
It's easier to pronounce.
Easier, and it also makes it easier to hear. Because when you have a person that you have a word that has only two syllables, it's harder to hear. Unless when you have three syllables, where you're adding another syllable, then the mind has more time to catch exactly what's being said. So he says over here this concept called, he doesn't say this very often, this concept called Latiferes Hakaria. Sometimes we add dots into a word, which enables it to, which adds another syllable, which doesn't have any change in the meaning of the word whatsoever, but it makes it sound better. And this principle, you should know, is used a lot by Rav Zalman Hena. Okay, the Megillah is coming up very soon. So the Megillah, what's the first word of the Megillah? I mean, this word is all over the whole Tanakh. Is it Vayihi or is it Vayihi? Okay, so according to the Gra, and according to, I believe, every published Siddur and Chumash ever printed, it's Vayhi. It's a Shva after a Patach. Patach, Vay. The Yud is a Shva Noch. Vayhi. Uvene. Is it Uvene or is it Uvene? So according to every published Siddur and Chumash, it's Uvene. That's the sheet of the Gra in the art scroll, the first page of the art scroll that tells you that we are following the sheet of the Gra, and part of the because they do have indications, they have lines, special lines to indicate when it's a Shvana or Shvana.
Some Siddur.
They do that. The art scroll does that to show it's a Shvana. But you'll never have the word in davening of Vayihi. There's not going to be a line on top of the Yud to indicate that it should be Vayihi. It's Vay because that's the Shita of the Gra.
And that may be because of the interpretation of that word, meaning everybody said Vay.
A very good Vay in Achanan. It's a very good point because that's the interpretation. However, there was a person by the name of Zalman Hena. He was one of the greatest. Experts in Dikduk. He was a very young man and he got into a lot of trouble because he was very very outspoken against Kidele Yisrael when he was very young. He a little bit carried away. He got into a lot of trouble, so he's still controversial by some people, and he had a whole system of Dikduk where he was very strongly of the opinion that it should be Vayihi. It's not Uvnei. Uvine, especially those two words, every patach at the beginning of a word, and every shurach, it should always be as if there is a dot, which makes it into a shva na. Now you'll ask, but if he's wrong, you're not pronouncing the word right. No, a shva, putting a dot in a word that doesn't need a dot is called tiferes hakriya. It's no harm done. There's no harm done. And in fact, Rav Pam, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, and Rav Belsky, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, and Yibad L'chaim Toyim V'aruchim, Rav Yisrael Reisman, they follow Rav Zalman Hena. Okay, Rav Belsky was the Baal Kri in Torah V'das his whole life. And Rav Belsky was an incredible Baal Diktuk. He knew Diktuk like no one else. And Rav Reisman, Yibad L'chaim Toyim, you see also the Svarim, he's always his Shiurim, every so often he goes off the topic and he gives long shiurim on Diktuk. And Rav Pam also was very makbid on this. They followed the shita of Zalman Hena. So when they read, they said Vayihi Uvinei. All of the tikkunim don't have. You all look at the tikkunim. You listen to a Baal Kri Meduktuk. You listen right away. A lot of the Baal Kriya that are very meduktik do follow Rav Zalman Hena.
Before
I don't know.
No,
what all of this is written up in Rabbi Reisman's book, Pathway to the Prophets. Everything I'm telling you comes from there. In the back of the book, there's a nice chunk, a nice section on this. Who wrote of Zalman Hena, the history of Zalman Hena. What?
Rabbi Reisman wrote a book.
That's the Pathway to the Prophets. Rabbi Reisman wrote a book. In the back of the book, he writes up all of this very, very simply, very clearly.
What was Hena's first name?
Zalman Hena. And this is his I remember years ago someone was telling me that they spoke to Rybelsky. Rybelsky said, he was very, very big fan of Zalman Hen. He's very, very strong on Zalman Hen, like he's right. That's how it has to be. But yet, it's interesting, none of the Sidurim. There are no Tikkun Simonim. Tikkun Simonim has even, whenever there's a Shvanah, they have square dots. And when it's a Shvanah, they have round dots. But, and the Tikkun Simonim is the Grah, follows the Grah. So it's Vayihi.
1687 to 1746.
Where did he live?
In Hanover, it's a German town.
Germany. He's a very interesting person. He's a brilliant, brilliant person. So I just want to point out over here is here we have over here, we see over here, this idea is Letiferes HaKuria. This really touches upon the side of Zalman Hena. He adds a lot of dots where there are no dots, and don't argue and say that's not the Messiah. You're corrupting the Kriya. You're not corrupting the Kriya. There's a principle in dicta called Letiferes HaKriya. In order to bring out the word in its beauty, in its glory, there is no harm done. Generally, you have to be very careful. There are exceptions. But generally, there is no harm done when you have a dot. And which forces you, whenever there is a dot in a word that has a letter that has a shva, automatically it's a shvanah. That's aleph base, it's a shvanah. So here, the Radak gave us two examples. Number one is this pasuk that we just read, where it says, Hinani el ki si so se chena. Okay? So it's a dot in the samach, which really does not need a dot. Which makes it into a new syllable we make with the samach. And it gives the example, mikidosh. Is it mikdosh or mikidosh? There's a dot. It could be that it's part of the mesorah. Sometimes you have a dot in the mesorah. The mesorah says, you can't play around. Whenever there's a dot in the mesorah, that's the way it has to be. But Rav Zalman Hena, he adds dots to words where there are no dots. And that became a very, very, very big standard among... Zalman Hena?
Yes.
Yeah? So in their Sidurim. What? Is there.
The Balatanya. The Balatanya.
For what? For what?
That Chabad took
Zalman Hena.
No, it could be in there because there are consecutive S sounds. And that.
In order.
It's really impossible to say it.
Well, you can say it. You can say it. You just do it.
No,
kiss.
Them, you can't.
Just pause.
It makes it difficult.
Just pause. Kiss, so, say, chena. Kiss,
yeah, that,
so.
That creates an unnatural break.
Do it fast. Yeah. Practice. Kiss, so, say, chena.
I don't think it works for three straight.
Kiss, when you go kiss, so, say, chena.
Okay,
that's what he calls Tiferes HaKriya. So when you listen to the Megillah and you hear the first one, you right away know the Baal Kriya. Who is he? Is he a Zalman Hena man or is he a Gra person? Is C C Vaihi? What?
Yeah.
Zimchashai
says that you would think there's a dot in the nun also. He says no. Specifically, there's no,
yeah,
no dot in the nun.
What difference would it make if it's dot in the nun?
I don't know.
The difference would be do you slur into the do you pause? You see, when there's no dot in the nun, this word kisses so say chena, you're really supposed to pause very, very slightly between the chaf and the nun. Cheh. No, you're not supposed to pause. You're supposed to flow. Chen is really like a shvanoch. Chen, then you begin the komatz no. When there's a dot, you got to stop. It will be che, calm down, and then no. And now this is happening so super fast. The average person can't do this. Can't even.
This is not after any place.
There are some very hard after us also. Don't worry. No, there's only one pasht. The pashto. We spent time on that. There's only one pashto. Every single pashto is the end of the word, the very end. Sometimes the emphasis of the pashto is going to be on a letter. So whenever, to indicate that. Well, in other words, how do you know that this is a pashto and this is not a kadma?
End of the word.
A kadma is always before the last syllable.
Right.
A word has two syllables, it will be either the first syllable or the second. It's not going to be the last syllable. A pashta is always at the last syllable, but sometimes we have to put the emphasis on the previous. So therefore, to show that this is a pashta and it's not a kadma, we put the symbol at the very end of the word, and then we put a second symbol to show where the emphasis should be. Because there's a difference in how the nigun of a pashta is not the same nigun as a kadma. In YU, there's a Rashiva, Rabbi Jeremy Weider. Jeremy Weider is a very big Talmud Chacham, and he's also a five-star Baal Medakdik, expert in Dikduk. And I listened to some of his shiur on the shiur. When he went to town, he spent probably half the shiur complaining that most Baal Likuya don't know the difference between a pashta and a kadma. All over you have that symbol, and the Baal Likuya don't differentiate. They don't know what they do. They just say the word.
How come? How do you
In the Tikkun Simonim,
right.
In the Tikkun Simonim, they make different symbols. The Kadma, they make
it a little different.
They make it smaller, and the Pashto, they make it thicker. But the old.
Or my pocket's a Kadma, after my pocket's a Pashto.
But still, you have it all along.
No.
Many times you have it all along. You have it all right. So you have it all along. So what is it? So sometimes it's a kadma, sometimes it's a pashta. And he says, and there's a difference in the nigun. There's a difference in the nigun. And also, do you read the words together? A kadma is always read together with the next word. A pashta is not. A pashta stands alone. A pashta stands alone. You have a pashta munach. Katon, but even that you have to pause slightly. So you have to know, is this a pashta, which means there's a slight pause, or is this a kadma, which goes into the next word?
You see, because he had a lot of time kadma katon, it's a hyphenated word.
Right.
How do you learn Vayigash Eila of Yehuda?
That's
the
note. Vayigash. That's a kadma v'yazla. That's a kadma v'yazla. That's easy. That's easy. If you have a kadma v'yazla. Whenever you have an azla, it's an azla gerish.
You say Vayigash.
Right, that's a kadma. It's on the yud. It's on the yud. A kadma is always on the second to last syllable. Or a kadma is never.
How many syllables are in the word?
Two. Va. Three. Va yi gash. Three. There are three syllables. There are three. Va yi gash. So it's on the second to last. Va yi gash. Va. Wait, no, maybe not. I don't know. I'm confused, but there's no question there. It's a kadma. Sometimes a kadma can be a delisible. Maybe I made a mistake. Sometimes a kadma maybe could also be on the. Let's see. Right here. One moment. On the gimel. So that's the last. Syllable. That's less. Enochanami. But that is a kadma. That's clear as day. And a love is an azla. Whenever you have an azla by alone, it's a different nigun. That's an azla gerish. All right. Enough dikduk for today. Not that I know anything. Believe me, I know enough. I know from nothing. I just like to make believe. I like to make believe I know something, but I don't know anything. Okay. Let's go further in the Radak. So this was a nice topic of the Teferes HaKriya, and now we move further. Le parchois, liois parchois b'divreichem, shetaymu shemusu. These women, okay, Rabbi Sai, these women are causing these gullible souls to die. Dekorati osamyal zero oseichem. I'm going to rip these cushions off your arms. Heim atzili yodaim shezocha. This refers to the armpits that we've mentioned yesterday. The Omar here is asking the question, why does it say over here zero oseichem? It should be from the arms of the customers, not the arm of the women who are preaching. V'im hoyu al zeroyos ha'shoyalim oisam bohem. Bohem heim ki ilu ziroy oisechem ki hein hoyu oisois bohem amaseh. So he answers, it's not a kasha. Even though you are right, grammatically it would have been preferred to say upon the arm of the people that are listening, not on the arm of the ones that are speaking. But being that they're acting as a team, okay, one, the women are speaking and the people are listening, so therefore it's ki ilu, it is upon the arm of the women who are speaking, are preaching, and discarding these people. And some say a whole new pshat, a whole new understanding that these cushions were not tied to the armpits of the customers. They were tied to the armpits of the women who were preaching. And that was the technique. Next, Vishalachti Yasan Nefashim, therefore when I go and I kill these women, then that will release these victims. Ashalach Oysan Chavshim Yetchem, the victims will be spared from your hands. Asher Etein Mitzudos Oysan, Asher Etein, you, the women, are trapping them. Es Nafsham, Ba Mikoyvetz, Ba Mikubetz. Okay, Nifa, this is a very unusual word. Look at the word in the Pasuk, Pasuk Chav, and how it's spelled. Atem Mitzudos Es Nifashim. Nifashim, so there it's a Ba Bami kubots. A kubots is.
It's the u under the letter.
Belashon zechem kmo pilak shim. I think it means. I'm not sure what he means here. I don't know.
Under the shim.
The shim nifashim pilak shim, kmo pilak shim. So the mikubots is what we call a chiruk. Is that what he means? Bami kubots.
As opposed to a nifashos, so you don't say nifashom.
Nifashim. So you think the mukubits? You have to know the vocabulary because the way the words that we use to describe a certain vowels are not the words that Rashi and other Rishonim use. They have different terminology. So here is the mukubits. He's using this to refer to what we call the chirik, a single dot.
Right.
Okay. Next. Pasuk about the karati yes mispechoy seichem. I'll rip off these the kerchiefs that you attach to the foreheads of your victims. V'chein ekra mispe choyseichem shayisen masimos al rosh kol koyma ukriya sakesasos ha-mitzbechos hu kilyon hanoshem. This refers to the death of the women hamechashvais umisasan, the sorceresses, and their death. V'kevon sheyibatlu hein yibatlu ma'asehen limit suda chaser vav. That word is missing a vav, but it's pronounced as if there is a vav. And take note that in this generation, women were very prominent. Okay, we're now finished with the women, pretty much. Remember, we learned before the women were the ones that were mevakos al hatamus, and we spent almost a whole day discussing what exactly is the tamus. But whatever it means, these women were very involved in avodah zarah. Here, they're very involved in preaching to people through this technique of using the cushions and the kerchiefs. And there, they were very involved in worshipping the avodah zarah called Tammuz. The women had a very, very, very prominent role in causing Klal Yisrael to be nichshol in avodah zarah and these very severe sins. Pasuk Chav Beis.
I think the Malbim makes the point that says the word Nefashim is talking about Kol. When it uses the word Nefashim, the implication is Koach HaTumah.
Because you have smitten the heart that tzaddik with words with lies, va'ani loy hich avtiv. I have never harmed this person. I had no wish to cause them pain. Hashem over here is coming to tell us over here that the reason why you're guilty is because you brought pain upon people that do not deserve to suffer. Ani Hashem says loy hich avtiv. I have no desire to cause this individual pain. Ulchazek yidei rasha. What else do these women do? They strengthen the deeds of the wicked people. Levilti shuv midakoi hara lachayosai. You prevent the rasha from doing teshuva, so that the rasha should save his life. So these are the two sins that these women are guilty of. They are causing tzaddikim to suffer, and it was not meant for them to suffer. And they're causing the wicked to continue to do evil and not do teshuva. They break the heart of the tzaddik to cause him pain. When they tell the tzaddik lies, most tamus you will die. I, Hashem says, did not cause pain to this person's heart. What else do these women do? They tell the wicked that everything is going to be fine and good. And that's a cause that prevents them from doing tshuva, from living. So these women are guilty of doing harm to both the wicked and the righteous. Sometimes you have in society people who are only guilty of harming one segment of society. They take advantage of only one segment. They cause tsar to the tzaddikim. or they cause the mechazek the rishoyim. It's rare to find wicked people that are causing tzar to tzaddikim and are being mechazek the averos of the rishoyim. These women specialize in covering all ground. They have the Republicans and the Democrats in their pockets. Okay, they have the, everything. All demographics are covered by these women. Make sure everyone suffers the most. Let's see the Mitzudos, the Rashi Pasuk Chav Beis. Yan Hakoy Slave Sadik Sheker Kishaten Kaismas Loira Hu Mitztaer V'Liboy Nicho, his heart is pained. Merdak Pasuk Chav Beis says Yan Hakoy Slave Sadik Vashek Vani Loi Hechavtiv Shohiyat Sadik Mispachid Midrechem Kamo Shepirashlo. The tzaddikim were terrified by the words of these women, and they caused them to have pain in my name that is false. I never told these women to say these things. They would tell the wicked people they're going to live. Going back, what does it mean? It goes in koev. Hashem says, I had no intent to cause tzaddikim tsar, koev, pain. The unicho levav, pain of the heart. Sometimes word, this word here is zohar, sometimes it's nekeva. We'll leave it with that. Pasuk of Gimel. Pasuk says, I'm going to bring about the death of these witches. And therefore, shav loy sechazena, falsehood they did not see. The kesem los, they will no longer see anymore. You will no longer see a vision that's false. The kesem lo sik samna. You will no longer divine words that are false owed anymore. Vitzalti asami v'yet. I'm going to say my book from your hand. Vidatem ken yashem. Period. And then you're going to I am Hashem. Mitzudos pasuk of gimel lo sechazena lo tinavu od shav. You will no longer prophesy falsely. The kesem musav al shav loyma. The kesem shav lo ti tik so mena. You will no longer before divination that is false. Okay, the Hitzalti, Lebal Yu Nilkadim Yadim, I'm going to say the people, Kian Yashem, Shakol Yadi, Rashi, there is no Rashi, Radak Pasuk of Gimel, and therefore Shav, Mevurhu itself understood, Vyesh Mefarshim, Wain Hazeb, Bidrishas Hamesim, Shah Yonoshim Baalois, Oiv Maalois, Nefashois Hamesim, Bidrahim, Mefarshim, Leforchois, exactly what you said. Parchais Bavur from the Malbe Bavur Ois and the Fashois. Shoimer Shahu Malois Mikivrayim Parchais Bavir. So here the Radak is giving us, telling us that you want to go back and understand the entire Perek. He's just going back and saying, until now we understood that what the women here are doing is they are using Koichais of Toma to predict the future. There's another technique of predicting the future that is through bringing up the dead. That's not what we've discussed until now. We have no understanding of these things anyway, so it doesn't make much of a difference to us. But you can predict the future with magic that does not involve the dead bodies, dead souls. And then there's a whole new art where you go make contact with dead, the dead, and they will tell you what's going to be in the future. If you want, some say that's exactly what these women engaged in, and everything that is still here with the cushions and with the kerchiefs was the technique in order to bring up the dead. And therefore, when it says here the words nefashim lefarchois, it doesn't mean, like we learned until now, that you're going to cause tzaddikim to die prematurely because they're going to be nichshel in the sin of believing in kesem, or because they're going to despair, they're going to commit suicide, they're going to be miyayish on life. Doesn't mean that the neshamos of the tzaddikim are going to fly to Shemayim and go to Gehenim for their sins. It means that through these women, the women would cause the nefashim, the dead souls in the ground, to fly upwards to them and reveal secrets of what's going to happen in the future. It's a whole new translation of the word nefashim lefarchois. Every time it has those two words together, it has a whole new meaning according to the interpretation of the last interpretation of the Radak. Yeah.
That he says, why did he want that kind of piece of Korach? Because there is communication with the dead.
Yeah.
And if Korach would have just died, then he would still have some sort of shaykhus to the living, because there's communication between them. but he was put literally in what we would call like a phantom zone, where he would be totally wiped out.
Cut out.
No ability to have any communication with the living or the dead.
Yeah, but still he had much canvas, was a twilight's coming.
No,
back.
But he had no, there was no way to contact the dead.
Yep.
Okay, let's try to get this. There's a very good pasuk coming up, a very important pasuk. I don't know if we'll get it. Let's just try to see how far we can go further. Pasuk Aleph. Vayavo Eli Anoshim Zikne Yisrael. New parak. People from the Zikne Yisrael approached me. Vayeshvu Lefonoy, and they sat before me. Vayehi Dvar Hashem Eli Lemar. Ben Adam, Hashem Zal says to Yecheskel. Ho Anoshim Ho Eile He Elu Gilu Lehem Al Libam. Umichshol Avoynim Nosnu Nechach Pneihem. What are you talking to these people? How dare you, Yecheskel, you're sitting here in your house. Who comes in to Fabreng with you? A Fabreng, it's Friday night, and you're sitting there at the Tish, and now they all come over, these people, oh, let's Fabreng, let's sing the Lubavitcher Nigan. Let's sing the Rebbe's Nigan. Hashem says, Yecheskel, what are you doing? Who is this company? Who are these people? They're Rishoyim. These people have Gilu, they have Alibam, they think about their Avodah Zarah the entire day. And they're holding their hands their smartphones, and they're looking on the smartphones. Should I seek them out? Should I give them the benefit of having them in, allow them to sit in your company? You represent me, you Yecheskel, you represent the Ribbono Shel Olam. These Rishoyim do not deserve to seek out HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem says, I don't want to seek out their welfare. In other words, tell them to get out. Tell them to leave your presence. They're not worthy. Let's see these two proposals. Vayavoyelai. Boyelai kvutzas anoshim mizikne Yisrael. Yecheskel was sitting in his home, and a group of people entered. Vayeshu lefonai. His akvu lefonai. They sat down before me. Hashem right away comes to Yecheskel. Hashem says, Ha'alu. These people, He'elu. Return to Loimar. Machshavois libam lavoidas rechavim v'neged pneim nosnu michshol avon ha'avonis rechavim ko'imer loy b'machshav levad ki oisim gam b'poil. These people, they think about Avodah Zarah and they worship Avodah Zarah. So when it says he'elu gilulim alibam, means their thoughts. And this is very, very important, because here we're coming to a topic where I don't know if we're going to get, we have time to get to, but this is the makar for the halacha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not hold a person responsible for a thought of sin, except Avodah Zarah. Right. The only exception where Hashem will punish a person for the machshava is a machshava Avodah Zarah, but all other types of machshavas to do averos, there is no punishment. So here it says this is exactly what they are doing. They are thinking in their hearts Avodah Zarah, and then it says umichshol avoinim nosnu, the stumbling block of their sin nosnu noichach pneim, which means they actually do. They physically, they bow down to these idols, they worship these idols, and therefore the next words are ha idoroish, idoreish lohem, v'chi meharoish eye nidrash lohem lemale mishaloisam bitmia. Is it proper that I should seek out their welfare? I should allow them to sit before you and have an audience with me, because Yecheskel represents Hashem. Now notice the poetic similarity between Moshe Rabbeinu and Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu on the day of the Miluim, what did Hashem say? What did Moshe Rabbeinu? V'yisir hachatos, dorosh dorash Moshe, v'hinei sarof. Those words are the middle words of the Torah, and those words are very, very significant. If that is the center of the Torah, it captures the pnimius haTorah. Moshe Rabbeinu's essence was dorosh dorash, was a mavakish. This is already drush. Because Moshe there, he wanted to know, simply means he wanted to know, why did they burn? Why was the chatos of Rosh Chodesh burnt in its entirety, and not eaten by the Kohanim, whereas the chatos of the Miluim was eaten? So the answer was, well, we're Tameim, because on this day, Nadab v'Avihu died. They died, so therefore Elazar v'Isamar were Tameim Esim. Therefore we can't eat the chatos of Rosh Chodesh. If you can't eat the chatos of Rosh Chodesh, so why did you eat the chatos of the Miluim?
They weren't the
Mimes.
They were Aninos. They were in Aninos. I'm sorry. They were in Aninos. I'm sorry, you're correct. But they were in Aninos. And an oinein is not allowed to eat kachim. So therefore, if they can't eat the kachim, they burnt it. But if he burnt the kachim, you burnt the chatas, why then did you not burn the chatas of the miluim? And if you can eat the miluim, so why not eat also the chatas of the Rosh Chodesh? So Moshe was doroish, darasha, double drusha, why this yes and why this no? And Hashem said to him, they answered, there's a difference between kachay shah and kachay dorois. The chatas of Rosh Chodesh will have another chance. Next month will be another chatas. But the chatas of the miluim, it's once in a lifetime. Once in a lifetime, harasha, we're able to go do so. So this guy, that's the pshuta shel mikra, but there is much depth in that expression, especially being that it's the center of the Torah. V'yasir ha-chatas doroish dorash Moshe. Moshe's essence, Moshe, who is the noisein ha-Torah, was an individual who was a doroish of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And here HaKadosh Baruch Hu is using exactly those same words. And he's saying, these people are a bunch of fakers. A bunch of fakers. They're coming over here to Yecheskel. They're coming here as if they're a fine mention. They're here at Shabbos. They're wearing their bekesha and their shtreimel. And they're sitting here. They want to say Torah. They present themselves like Moshe Rabbeinu. Doroish Dorash. Hashem says, get out of here. You're hypocrites. The whole day, you're oisig in Avodah Zarah. You do Avodah Zarah. And now you want to be a Moshe Rabbeinu? You want to be mamish, the lowest of the low, and yet be the greatest of the greatest. You want to be the biggest rashiv and sit on the dais in the center. At the same time, you do avodah zara. So that's what Hashem. Let's see Rashi. Rashi over here says pasuk beis, pasuk aleph. Pasuk aleph says vayovay lai nashim kulam b'lei vechad l'ra l'chei nemar. That's why it says here b'loshon yochid vayovo. Does not say vayovo u vayovo. Ki ish echad b'leiv echad here to do averos. Umedesh agod oimer al shem shaklish baruch hu gilech oizen hanavi tchila hine yavohu elecha ploini uploini. Some say that over here it says yavo is because they didn't come yet. Hashem is warning Yecheskel that in 5 minutes from now you're going to get a knock on the door. They're going to want to sit by you. I'm warning you. Do not let them participate. Pasuk beis helu gilu lehem al libam el gilu lehem laavoid. Means their heart is directed to worshiping their idols. Nasnu neichach pnehem liyos lahem akum tamid lemoira ule aloha. They put in front of their faces to continuously worship. Heidroish ha idoroish idoreish lahem. Should I seek them out? Hisrae ki ani edroish lahem. The ashiv al devarim. Should I appear? Hatire. Should it appear by you giving these people an audience? And being that you represent me, it appears that I am allowing them to seek me out. Hisra hatireh, should it appear, ki ani edroish lohem, I will seek out their welfare. V'oshiv al divrehem harbei harbei tmihos miskaimos. This is, I don't know what this means. Al divrehem. Harbe Tmios Hamiskaimos, this is a very big question to me. I think it means that's with a hey. Ha means this is something which to me is a very shocking thing. Should I allow such a thing to happen? Absolutely not. Let's see, the Radak will finish. Radak Pasik Aleph Ayavo Elaim Anoshim Zigni Shovesh Lufana Amanovi Kikolos Nivuzu Bombo Elaim Anoshim Zigni Gagoila Vyosh Lufanai Shahayu Marim Asim Sheboim Lidurus Hashem. They made believe they come to take a Kalish Baruch Hu for Akel Gila Eli Eslavavam. Hashem revealed to Yechesel what's really in their hearts. The Omar Vayavo Loshin Yachid Al Rabim Lohidia Kiva Haskam Achas Lechad Bokulam Alze. Is that what Rashi said? They all came in one group. Pasik Beis Vayavo. And the Vayihi, Vayihi, there's no Radak. That's it, no Radak. Okay, so we'll stop over here. Mirshem, we'll pick this up. Mirshem Hashem on Monday, the Pasuk Dalit.
Request my wife's grandmother's shorts.
What's her name?
Chana Bat Eliezer.
Chana Bat Eliezer?
Learn the rest of the session. Say Chana Bat Eliezer.
What's her last name?
Her last name? Last name was Lowenstein.
Hornstein. What's your first name?
Her name was Hilda.
Hilda.
The Yankees. Grandmothers were Hilda and Hella.
Okay.
She's Hilda.
And today's your yard site. This is your wife. This is your wife's.
Yeah, Dennis's wife's. This is grandmother's.
Your wife's grandmother.
Yeah.
Your wife's grandmother.
Okay. Thank you.
No problem.
Okay.
Was this on the person who approved?
Of course.
He was, right?
Yeah, of course. He's a very big on the Chacham. Of course. Oh, Shalom Aleichem. My favorite. Landsman. Chaim Berliner.
Yeah.
Chaim Berliner.
But I don't doubt from there.
I doubt you.
I know. You can hardly wait to leave an hour later. It's going to be at least Alman can be done in 8 minutes. And I'm saying,
All right, let's begin. Rabbi Sai, let's begin.